All right, it's download here on WGN Radio.
What happened to the Return of the Mac music?
Man? I thought that was a one-off thing. I thought that
we
was
did
like
it twice.
A, we did?
Yeah.
I think it was twice because it was like you were on twice. Him.
Yeah, well.
Like in the same week.
So I got to come up with something new. I'm stuck with New Edition.
New Edition's good. What's wrong with New Edition?
I want to go get a fade.
you need a fade, my friend. Mike Fouché, the man behind the DailyLine.com, is in studio with us for a regular segment. Used to be AlderTrack, now DailyLine.com. Congrats on the name change.
Dot net.
It's happened. It's done. Dot net?
The DailyLine.net.
The DailyLine.net. Sorry about that.
Dot com is like some Malaysian thing. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it costs so much money.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so let's get to it. It doesn't matter. All right, let's talk about CPS budgets. Now, the CPS budgets, when you say that the CPS budgets were released, what that means is that principals at schools throughout Chicago were given their individual budgets today.
Right. So they go through a whole process, right? There's the overall budget for the school system, and they have this huge lump sum, and then they report to the individual principals how much money they get. And so the big first off, I want to put off a pet peeve here. Forrest Claypool, for some reason, always has his press conferences in some school somewhere. You know, come on, man, do it downtown.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
That's where all the media's at.
And there's like and it was, you know, supposed to be cool that he's standing around a bunch of small desks. What isn't even that today? He was in an empty classroom. What's the deal? Nobody's there. You got nothing. Okay, stop that, Forrest Claypool, please. But anyway. So they have a press conference in this school at 47th and something or other. And the big news is all of the schools are going to be fully funded. I'm not going to say fully funded. There's not going to be any teacher layoffs.
Okay, so that's the positive takeaway.
There's no teacher layoffs. School's going to start on time. And the other big news is that special education programs are fully funded.
Those are all good things. And that's obviously the teacher layoffs and the school starting on time has to be good things for the teachers union who are working. I mean, have they responded or do they see this as some sort of a positive in terms of negotiations?
Well, there's a couple of things to talk about here. The first is that they would not release the individual school budgets to us, the press. They just said, that's what's going to happen. And at 5 p.m. today, all of the principals are supposed to be receiving their individual school budgets. So there's a lot of stuff, devil's in the details, okay? So, you know, one of the things is schools might have to share an art teacher. They might have to share a gym teacher. So
CPS Maine is like, hey, everything's good, fully funded.
Right.
5 o'clock, go home, and then we're going to drop off these budgets on the front porch.
Right.
And,
right.
Hopefully the media will go to sleep.
Don't call your principal right now because he or she is freaking out.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, that's the first thing. The other thing is that CPS still has about a $350 million hole that they have to fill, that they don't have all the money for that. And where is this going to come from? Well, CPS has now the ability to raise property taxes, so they could do it all with property taxes. But they're probably not. And what Rahm Emanuel has continually said is this whole idea of a weirdo three-way handshake. I don't know how that works. But the state kicks in some money, which they've already done. Number two, taxpayers have to kick in some money. So we know that there's going to be a property tax increase of some amount. And number three, the unions are going to have to make some kind of concession.
So that's where he's putting a lot of emphasis on concessions.
That's exactly right.
All right. So what I thought was interesting is that there was a lot of talk about the February cuts, and we were on the show in February talking about when Forrest Claypool and CPS really just started to gut as much as they possibly could.
Yep.
Now, that was in expectation that they weren't going to be able to get the money.
That stuff is not restored.
So now it's not coming back?
No, it's not coming back.
Is there criticism to the fact that that's not coming back?
The teachers' union has been very quiet, and I think that actually is because they know that they've got some negotiating to do and they've got to figure out exactly what's going to happen. You know, they have actually changed their tune in a lot of ways. And I think what's interesting is that the teachers' union really got very far behind Mike Madigan in this last election cycle to do everything they could for him. And I think Mike Madigan has delivered in a lot of ways by bringing money to the city schools. And I'm going to bet that there's going to be some other things that are going to come along. And I'm guessing that, you know, that means that they're buying their silence to some extent. I don't know. Nobody's told
me that
specifically.
Well, I mean, it's funny because we think of summertime and the negotiation with schools. But, you know, with CPS, we're already into mid-July here. That gives a month and change, really a month and a half, until schools start back up in the citywide. So it's not a lot of time to get to the table and negotiate.
Really, effectively, we've got this whole thing has got to be sealed up in 3 weeks. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening behind the scenes in the meantime. You know, and so now I think we know what the facts are, and I think that we're going to begin hearing the real deal in the next few weeks. And we're probably going to hear about a big property tax increase, you know, sometime in August when everybody's on vacation. So, you know, that'll be cool. That'll be cool. Come back.
Okay. So the other story in CPS, which was a big story this week, was really scrutinizing Mayor Daley and CPS for
Manual.
What did I say?
Daley.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Wow, I didn't even. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We have to remember he's the kindly grandfatherly figure now.
Oh my gosh. No,
now.
I just, you know, there's
it just
a
rolled
reason.
Off the tongue.
It did.
Bam. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like he's still there.
He's just all around me.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. I apologize, WGN listeners. I can't believe I did that.
Rahm Emanuel.
Emanuel, of course. Mayor Emanuel.
MRE.
And, Don't start with the initials.
Yeah.
All right. Mayor Emanuel, CPS get a lot of scrutiny over the capital projects about expanding, possibly building on some schools that are overcrowded in the city of Chicago.
Right.
But in most cases, and reports came out that most of these schools that are getting the expansions and annexes and these capital projects are schools with middle class to upper class,
well-to-do communities that tend to be white.
And there's a pushback saying, why aren't you expanding? We're overcrowded and we're at capacity all across the city.
Right.
Why not spread the love a little bit and give some minority communities or other communities that don't have well-off a lot of money involved and get them in the business?
So, you know, when you go look at a house in a nice neighborhood in Chicago, oftentimes what it says in the listing is in the Coonley School District. Or in the Skinner West School District, or the Bell School District, or you know whatever it is, and that is a major selling point. It's a major selling point, and it has a lot to do with property values. Because if it's a great or pretty good public school, that means those parents aren't going to have to shell out a whole bunch more money every year in order to send their kids to private school. So that makes it more likely that you're going to be able to sell that house for a lot of money. So CPS has got this problem where they have an extremely political issue about what the lines are for each elementary school. If you move the lines for an elementary school, that means some group of people are getting their property values whacked in a huge way. And so what's happened is that you have these schools like Waters Elementary or Skinner West or other places like that that have very, very high property values in those areas. And if they move the line, then there's a whole bunch of people that are going to scream. Those schools are already at like 120%
capacity.
Exactly,
and I can't speak for Waters, but I know Skinner West. But the concept being that there's also a selective enrollment part of that school.
Yeah, okay, so Skinner West, yeah.
Yeah, but that,
but if you live in the neighborhood, you get to go for free,
right. And there's always a tug and a push and a pull when it comes to selective enrollment versus neighborhood.
Right.
But in any case, a lot of the reports were like, well, why not take that selective enrollment and put it somewhere else?
Right.
And essentially, the argument was being made that this is almost forcing, in a way, segregation.
Right. And that's absolutely true. So you have a school that's right next door that maybe has, you know, 50 or 60% utilization. They've got a lot of room, but it's in a lot less desirable neighborhood. And, you know, people that the nice school already has a great marketing component. Everybody thinks is in the neighborhood thinks it's wonderful. And they moved in that neighborhood in order to send their kids there. And if CPS all of a sudden says, sorry, you're going to go to the school in the less desirable neighborhood, number one, it's probably going to affect their property values. And number two, these parents now have a responsibility. We're going to have to start building their kids up or building the school up. I've actually heard that, you know, CPS is very seriously thinking, well, we're going to cap at a particular grade. You know, in a couple of years, what we're going to have to do is everybody in that school is going to have to go to a different adjacent school.
Right, right.
Or they'll do something where they'll say, well, 1 through 5 is going to stay in this elementary school, and we're going to scrape off 6 to 8 and put it in a different building because they've got plenty of space. You know, that's all been hearsay. You know, those are the kind of things that I think CPS is discussing.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's definitely one of the bigger issues of our time when it comes to the idea of public schools and what's available to the haves and the have-nots when it comes to our public education.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what at the bottom of this argument, it's about why are you expanding this school when there's no funds being put into this school?
Right.
And it continues in the city, and it's something that you can't really peg on Mayor Emanuel and CPS right now because they've been doing it
for a long time.
Decades.
But at some point, CPS is going to have to say, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to cut a line here, and these people are going to have to go to a different school. There's really no way about it, way around it. And, you know, oh boy. I mean, I have a kid in CPS. I'm probably going to be dealing with it myself.
Mike Fouché from thedailyline.net is in studio with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about chaos at the Rules Committee.
Chaos with a K.
There we go. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Mike Fouché. Mike is the man behind thedailyline.net. All right, City Council Rules Committee. This is nerdy stuff. This is nerdy stuff, but it has impact. Talk about that.
All right, so City Council has a thing called Rules Committee, right? So everything that they want to totally control goes to Rules Committee. The chair of Rules Committee is Michelle Harris from the 8th Ward.
Sure.
She has been carrying water for a long time. She's been a good soldier for everything. And so the thing that they're putting through Rules Committee is this. This is so crazy. You know, every year at the very bottom of the ballot, or every election at the bottom of the ballot, there's a bunch of referendum questions, right? And they're all
liquor on Sundays, right?
Bogus. That kind of stuff. They're all really kind of lame stuff. Are you in favor of not punching people in the head? You know, yes, no. It's that kind of stuff. And the reason why it's on there is that state law says you can have up to 3 referenda on the ballot. And they can either go on in for every jurisdiction. So Chicago can have 3 referenda on the ballot. And so one way to put them on is that city council votes them in. The other way to put them on is that people collect signatures and
petition,
put it on,
petition. The Pat Quinn version, right.
So it just so happens that there's a group of people led by SEIU that want to put a referendum on that would be a vote on whether or not the airports should be broken off into a separate government body. That would not be controlled by the mayor.
This is something that we've talked about before. There's been a protest movement to almost in a weird way punish the mayor from all his political fallout and take away the airport.
Then the argument is that already the airports are totally clouded and there's a lot of corruption in there. We should create its own agency.
Like a lot of places do.
New York
has.
That is governed by a separate elected group of people. Well, Mayor Emanuel doesn't like that idea, and neither do the city council members because, you know, they get to use it for contracts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They like to control that stuff. It's a nice big sack of cash that they can use for things. So these guys on city council are scrambling to come up with a bunch of different things to put on the referendum. And so they thought they had their three. And
so they're stuffing it essentially so you can't get the airport thing on there.
That's exactly
that's
right. They thought they had
Chicago
their three.
Politics,
and last month they were like, yeah, we got our three. And then it turns out that one of them, which was going to, it's too much detail, but it was on immigration.
It fell through.
The immigration community are like, no way, man, you can't do that. It's a terrible idea. So council's like, oh no, what are we going to do? We're going to come up with a third thing. And so the third thing that they came up with is, should Chicago spend money on roads? Dude, I mean, that's right up there with should I punch you in the face?
They did
yes,
that.
No.
And really, the only reason they did it was to block the airport.
In order to put, yes,
what?
Exactly.
That's
and
awesome.
This is what's incredible about city council is that the management of city council has become so ham-fisted that there's the mayor's people and the folks on council are completely crosswise with one another, and they're not really managing stuff, that they get this thing and it comes up on Tuesday where they're like, all right, we're going to have this vote on whether or not Chicago and the state should spend money on roads. And people on the council, on the committee, they get it at the last minute. They get this ordinance and they look at it and they go, this is dumb. You know, this is a really dumb idea. I don't know why we're having anything like this. And actually, Scott Wagespeck said, yeah, we should add in that we want to get money from the Galactic Council as well in order to spend money on roads. I'm like, you know, people were just busting on it.
I was going to ask the question, the follow-up is, do aldermen or critics, are they crying foul? Or are they like, come on, put the airport down?
Yeah. So it goes to a vote. And, you know, usually the stuff, what happens is the chair's like, all right, we're going to have a vote. All in favor say aye, and then it goes through. All right, it's all by voice vote. But no, so 2 people actually said we want a roll call, and so that if somebody calls for a roll call and it's seconded, you got to do it. She couldn't gavel it. Michelle Harris couldn't gavel it through. And so they had a roll call vote. And the roll call vote ended up being a tie, 7-7. And that, if you get a tie, it's a no pass. You got to have 50% plus one.
So what does that mean?
So that means that it didn't pass, and they didn't come up with a referendum in order to jam the thing.
So
Michelle Harris says, well, we're going to have another Rules Committee meeting right before next Wednesday's council meeting. We'll have it at like 9 in the morning. So they'll try and come up with something else and jam it through at the last minute. If they don't manage to get it through, that's going to leave an empty slot, because the next council meeting isn't until I think right after the deadline for signatures.
So that means that it would just be empty.
It would be empty, and it means that there's a possibility of these guys putting in the airport referendum.
They would have to put that through committee, that airport referendum.
No. They get the signatures, and they turn in the board of elections.
There's no vote anyway.
That's right.
Wow.
It's not dealt by council.
So the best part, next week, you got to remind us at the beginning of the show, when you're on next Wednesday, what was the referendum item that they chose
that they
at 9 a.m.? Yeah. What they got through.
Should I be punched in the face? Yes, no. I'm very excited to see that one. I think there's a lot of potential for it. It would be probably the best vote ever. But you know, this is what this sort of thing never, ever, ever, ever happened before. And this is what's really exciting to us nerds, is that this is an incredible illustration of how city council is changing rapidly. The fact that rules committee
before it was
doesn't
right
have
through.
This iron control,
right.
That there's actually debate and people are fighting over these sort of things is really amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It's government at work. The
so
city
all we
that
need
works.
Is for somebody to come up with something that matters.
So right,
in order to fight about.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That'd be exciting.
this is just the beginning.
Right.
Mike Fouché, thedailyline.net. Next week is convention time, the Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
You and I remember we were together in 2008 at the DNC in Denver.
Yeah.
So next week we talk about the RNC and who's going, who's not, the DNC, all that kind of stuff.
Good
next
times.
Week. All right, Mike, thanks for being here.
Good being here.